Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 1. The Supreme Lord is equal to everyone, text 26. Tasman vaira nubandena nirvairena vayena va snehat kamena vayunjat katanchin nikshite pritak tasmat therefore Vaira anubandena, by constant enmity, niravairena, by devotion, vayena, by fear, va, or, snehat, from affection, kamena, by lusty desires, va, or, yunjat, one should concentrate, katanchit, somehow or another, na, not, ikshite, sees, pritak, something else. Therefore, by enmity, translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, by enmity or by devotional service, by fear, by affection, or by lusty desire, all of these, or any of one of them, if a conditioned soul somehow or another concentrates his mind upon the Lord, the result is the same. The Lord, because of his blissful position, is never affected by enmity or friendship. So this is rather a long purport. It's 3.5 pages. So, of course, we're all going to pay perfect attention and remember everything, or at least part of it. So, purport. From this verse, one should not conclude that because Krishna is unaffected by favorable prayers or unfavorable blasphemy, one should therefore blaspheme the Lord. This is not the regular principle. Bhakti yoga means anukulyena Krishna nu shilanam. One should serve Krishna very favorably. This is the real injunction. Here it is said that although an enemy thinks of Krishna unfavorably, the Lord is unaffected by such anti-devotional service. Thus he offers his benedictions even to Shishupal and similar inimical conditioned souls. This does not mean, however, that one should be inimical toward the Lord. The stress is given to the favorable execution of devotional service, not purposeful blaspheming of the Lord. It is said, Nidam Bhagavatak Shrinvams Tat Parasya janasyava tato na paiti yaksopi yat yadak sukritachuta. One who hears blasphemy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his devotees should immediately take action or should leave. Otherwise, he will be put into a hellish life perpetually. There are many such injunctions. Therefore, as a regular principle, one should not be unfavorable towards the Lord, but always favorably inclined toward him. Shishupal's achievement of oneness with the Lord was different because Jai and Vijay, from the very beginning of their material existence, were ordained to treat the Lord as an enemy for three lives and the return home back to Godhead. Jai and Vijay inwardly knew that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they purposely became his enemies to be delivered from material life. From the very beginning of their lives, they thought of Lord Krishna as an enemy, and even though blaspheming Lord Krishna, they chanted the holy name of Krishna constantly, along with their inimical thoughts. Thus they were purified because of chanting the holy name of Krishna. It is to be understood that even a blasphemer can be freed from sinful activities by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Certainly, therefore, freedom is assured for a devotee who is always favorable to the service of the Lord. This will be clear from the following verse. By rapt attention fixed upon Krishna, one is purified, and thus one is delivered from material life. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura has very nicely explained the word bhayena, which means by fear. When the gopis went to Krishna in the dead of night, they certainly feared chastisement by their relatives, their husbands, brothers, and fathers, but nonetheless, not caring for the relatives, they went to Krishna. There was certainly fear, but this fear could not check their devotional service to Krishna. One should not mistakenly think that Lord Krishna must be worshipped by an inimical attitude like that of Shishupal. The injunction is anukulyasya grahanam, pratikulyasya varjanam. One should give up unfavorable activities and accept only favorable conditions in devotional service. Generally, if one blasphemes the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is punished, as the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 16:19, Tanaham dvishata kuran samsareshu naradamam shivam yajasram ashubam asvishveva yonishu. There are many such injunctions. One should not try to worship Krishna unfavorably, otherwise he must be punished, at least for one life, to be purified. As one should not try to be killed by embracing an enemy, a tiger or a snake, one should not blaspheme the Supreme Personality of Godhead and become his enemy in order to be put into hellish life. The purpose of this verse is to emphasize that even the enemy of the Lord can be delivered, not to speak of his friend. Srila Madhvacharya also says in many ways that one should not blaspheme the Lord Vishnu through one's mind, words, or actions, for the blasphemer will go to hellish life along with his forefathers. Karmana manasa vacha yodvishad vishnum avyayam majanti pitarastasya narake shasviti samak. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Tanaham dvishata kuran samsreshu naradamam shipam yajasram ashubam asrishveva yonishu asrim yonam apanam mura janmani janmani mama prapyaiva konteya tato yantyadamam gitim. Those who are envious and mischievous were the lowest among mankind, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into the various demonic species of life. Attaining repeated birth among such species of life, demoniac life, such persons can never approach me. Gradually they sink down to the most abominable type of existence. One who blasphemes the Lord is put into the family of Asuras, in which there is every chance of forgetting the service of the Lord. The Lord further states in the Bhagavad Gita 9:11-12, Abhijananti mamota manushima tanumashvityam parambhava majananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. Mudas, rascals, blaspheme the Supreme Lord because he appears exactly like a human being. They do not know the unlimited opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mogaisha moka karmano moka jnana vichetasaha rakshasimasrim chaiva prakadimo inimshitaha. Anything done by those who have taken the attitude of enemies will be baffled. Mogaisha. If these enemies are to be liberated or to merge into the existence of Brahman, if they desire to be elevated to the higher planetary systems as karmis, or even if they desire to return home back to Godhead, they will certainly be baffled. As for Hiranyakashipu, although he was extremely inimical towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he always thought of his son, who was a great devotee. Therefore, by the grace of his son, Prahlad Maharaj, Hiranyakashipu was also delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hiranyakashipu's chapi Bhagavan Nindayatamaha Vivakshor Atayagat Snu Suno praladasya anubhavataha. The conclusion is that one should not give up pure devotional service. For one's own benefit, one should not imitate Hiranyakashipu or Shishupal. That is not the way to achieve success. It's interesting to note that Prabhupada spends almost four pages trying to contradict the verse. Not exactly contradict the verse, but give a purport to the verse so that we don't understand the verse wrongly. In other words, as Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of the Krishna book, the art of Krishna consciousness is the art of focusing one's love and focusing one's attention and then giving one's love to Krishna. So whatever we focus our attention on, we're going to experience. We focus our attention on Krishna, then we'll experience Krishna. Now, how we're going to experience Krishna will also depend upon what is the mood of our attention. One can put one's attention on something out of fear, or out of anger, or out of lust, or out of friendship, out of love. There are different ways of putting one's attention on something. And according to one will experience that particular object, but in the particular mood in which one is paying one's attention. Therefore, Prabhupada writes that the art of Krishna consciousness is the art of focusing one's attention and then giving one's love to Krishna. So we want to focus our attention and give our love to Krishna, of which there may be varieties. For instance, Prabhupada writes that the Shushusho Shradadanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Sian Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punya Tirti Nishavana. O best of the twice born, great service is done. Actually, that's the wrong one. That Shushusho Shradadanasya. So Su means nicely, Shusho means to pay attention in the desire to give service. Shradadanasya, because Shraddha means Sad, Da, where we put our heart. So Prabhupada writes that we should hear, but hear with the idea of service. That's the import of Sushusho. And Shradadanasya means that service should be rendered with care and attention. So I already mentioned about attention. So that attention should be done with care. That's the way we show love for someone, is we show some care about how we serve them. Everyone is a servant. We can serve negligently. We can serve inimically. We can serve in so many different moods, but carefully, to do everything carefully, is the mood of pure devotional service. Attention, because without attention, we can't do it carefully. Attention has so many different varieties of meaning. Not just to try to pay attention, but also to be aware of what kind of service should be rendered. Said that a first-class servant, even before the master requests something, the first-class servant immediately knows exactly what the master wants and does it even before he's requested to do so. Second-class servant finds out from the master what the master wants him to do, and then he does it enthusiastically. And a last-class servant doesn't do the service. Or he does it in such a way as that the master wishes he didn't do the service. Attention means that one is so much in line, so much conscious of the desires of the master, even without being requested, he does it perfectly according to the desire of the master. So that's the ideal spiritual consciousness, that as it says, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi Eka He Kuru Nandana Vuhusaka Vinandascha Buddhiya Vyavasayinam. That when one becomes in one with Krishna, one in the sense of no one has no purpose other than Krishna's purpose, which is one of the aspects of surrender, because the aspects of surrender are expressed in different ways. Anukulyasya sankalpe, pratikulyasya varjana. The method of focusing our attention is by surrender and careful attention, beginning with anukulyasya sankalpe, to accept things which are favorable. This is the path of becoming in one with the Supreme. Become one in consciousness, in harmony and desire with interest. Then, anukulyasya sankalpe, pratikulyasya vivarjana. And then one becomes even more in harmony with Krishna's interest when one gives up things which are unfavorable for devotional service. And then when one completely depends upon Krishna and believes that Krishna will always protect one and maintain one, then one becomes even more intimately united with Krishna in oneness, in harmony of interest. And one has no interest besides Krishna's interest. Then one is able to understand Krishna's interest perfectly, because Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam, Krishna reveals to such a devotee exactly what his desires are. He becomes a confidential servant. Now we're trying to become servants, but unless we become one in interest with Krishna, Krishna doesn't confidentially reveal to us, at least by realization. He says confidentially in Bhagavad Gita what his interest is, but we just don't necessarily believe him fully or accept fully what his interest is. But Krishna personally talks to a devotee who has no interest other than his interest, and gives him in detail exactly how to execute his devotional service as a perfect instrument of Krishna. And then when one sees that how wonderful Krishna is, how nice Krishna's interest is, because it's not just a mechanical thing that, yes sir, I'll do it because otherwise I'll get into trouble, that when one sees that Krishna's interest is as absolute, benevolently as favorable, affectionate, whatever we may say, as Krishna is unlimited, then one is always feeling meek and humble. Understanding how wonderful Krishna is, one will, and how wonderful Krishna's devotees are, one will always feel meek and humble. Then that one is actually a perfect servant of Krishna. Therefore, any step towards perfection is always welcome, but here it says fear, anger, envy. These things are not very favorable, because one may be doing something which is, well, none of them are favorable for Krishna's service. One may get benefited, seemingly benefited by becoming liberated into the Brahma Jyoti effulgence. That for a demon is considered to be favorable. For a devotee, Kaivalyan Arakayate, Tridashapura Akashapushpayate. It is said that such an attainment is considered to be worse than hell. Still, for the point of view of a demon, it's considered to be favorable because they're focusing the mind upon Krishna, who is the purifying agent. Anyone who concentrates his mind upon Krishna will become purified. But the mentality will also block one's ability to understand things fully. Avishuddha Buddhaya, one's real intelligence will remain covered, although one may become purified and realize what we're not without having a favorable attitude towards Krishna, then one will never realize who one actually is. It's good to find out who we're not. That will solve our problems of birth, death, old age, and disease. But unless we find out who we are, we won't be able to engage in our actual life. Therefore, Krishna says, Naham prakasha sarvasha yogamaya samarita mudayo navijananti lokayam ajam avyam. That Krishna is never revealed to the foolish and unintelligent. For them, he is covered by his created energy called yogamaya, so the bewildered persons don't know Krishna is unborn and inexhaustible. So, if his intelligence is covered and one thinks of Krishna as an enemy or out of envy, whatever, then Krishna will not reveal himself fully to such a person and the benefit will only be minuscule compared to the actual benefit that one can obtain if one becomes a devotee of Krishna. Therefore, certainly, Shishupal, Dantavakra, Haranyakashipu were benefited, but not in a way that we want to be benefited. We want to be benefited in a different way, and therefore Prabhupada in his purport cautions us not to imitate Shishupal and Dankravata and go up to the deities and say, I'm going to get even with you. You put me in material existence. Watch out. No, we don't imitate Shishupal, Haranyakashipu, and Dandavakra. Although we appreciate how kind Krishna is, that even such personalities become benefited by concentrating their minds upon him. So how much more benefit we'll get if we concentrate our minds upon Krishna out of love and a favorable attitude. At least we do our service carefully, we do it enthusiastically, we do it consistently, whatever. Then how much more benefit we'll get. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments?
This verse speaks about inimical attitude towards Krishna. I remember several days ago you mentioned about inimical devotees reacting to inimical attitude. And it's not directly connected, but a question arose in me. Sometimes we see devotees manifesting some inimical attitude towards other devotees or towards some reasonable idea that we think is the best way forward. And we feel some natural, maybe sometimes surprise, and sometimes after that surprise, a certain dislike to a certain devotee. How could he do such a stupid... why is he acting in such a stupid way? Why is he pursuing such a stupid course of action? So how can we overcome such dislike towards some devotee or a group of devotees who is manifesting a certain strange idea or pursuing some strange idea in our mind?
Well, of course, from Jesus Christ, is that don't hate the sin, don't hate the sinner, hate the sin. Well, we have to see things in proper perspective. Those who can see with the eyes of knowledge can see that the soul is eternal, transcendental, and beyond the modes of material nature. Despite contact with the material body, Arjuna, the soul is neither doing anything nor is he entangled. So whatever we may conceive of, the activities or ideas which were not favorable to us, still they're being executed by Krishna's either internal or external energy. And in terms of a devotee, we may not be 100%, we can't be 100% sure that we know exactly what's right, and we know exactly what the spiritual energy is supposed to do. And if it doesn't do it, then we hate the spiritual energy. And even if it's the material energy, it doesn't do us very much good to hate the material energy either. That means that we're in the material energy. Either way, we're the loser. If we have an inimical attitude, then we suffer. We may suffer ourselves to death out of spite and hope that the other person suffers too, but it's not very probable. Just because we're suffering, anyone else is going to suffer with us. The best thing to do is see things from the point of view, Krishna's point of view. Whoever comes before Krishna, Krishna doesn't suddenly start frowning, turn blue, and get sick. No, Krishna is always in a favorable attitude. And if he sees someone is misdirected, then he may try to help them in some way if the person's worthy or desirous of being helped. But Krishna never becomes inimical towards anyone. Anything else?
You were mentioned that after we realize who Krishna really is, then there is no disunity of interest. And more so, disunity of interest, this is an illusion, actually. I mean, that's all that is on our part, conditioned.
We think we have a different interest than Krishna's?
Yeah, that actually we are only harming ourselves, and
that's right.
Why are we pursuing it further?
Because we're in love with ourselves, especially our false ego. Because we came here to try to imitate Krishna, and we're trying our best we can do in order to see what it would be like to be the center of everyone's attention. We're trying hard, not very successful. Well, sometimes we appear to be successful, but not for too long. Well, we're trying to enjoy here. We want to get a certain flavor to be independent of Krishna. Of course, it's not possible to be happy without Krishna, but we're trying hard. We've been doing so since time immemorial. But since we're eternal, we don't even remember. We give it one last try, the old college try. So from the point of view of reality, we're crazy. But from our point of view, we're just determined. Somehow or another, we're going to do it. So that's called to do something which is impossible and try to do it eternally. It's called madness. So we're all more or less crazy, that's all. Anything else? All right, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.